When Margaret Ashmore dealt with breast cancer, it helped her understand the gospel better.
Everything I'm looking for in life, if I'll endure it, it's right on the other side of the cross. The strength to live, the power to live, and I believe, too, the power to be closer to the Son.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Friday, October 21st. Each of us is going to go through some really hard times. We need the kind of godly counsel on suffering that we heard yesterday. Nancy was with her friends Kim Wagner and Holly Eliff, and they talked with cancer survivor Margaret Ashmore. Here they are picking up their conversation, part of a series called Surviving and Thriving Through Suffering.
I hated to drop this conversation yesterday where we finished it because we really weren't finished, but something was just ringing in my heart as we were talking about enduring for the long haul, living in the light of eternity. And Holly, you reminded us that, yes, we need to think about the end, the eternal reward, and what God is doing in us for eternity, but also we need to trust God for light and grace to live in this moment. And I think for so many, including myself, often what pulls us down is thinking, if this goes on for 3 more months or 3 more years or 30 more years, how in the world will I live with it? Honestly, sometimes I feel that way about Revive Our Hearts. I think about the next recording session. I'm just being transparent here. And, you know, I can get myself in a tizzy, and I've done it plenty of times, thinking, how in the world am I ever going to come up with 30 more years of content of what it takes to pull together these programs? Well, I don't have to pull together 30 years of content today,
right,
or this week. What I do have to do this week is be ready for this week's recording session. And, you know, some people say, oh, I wish I had such, you know, little problems, because other people are dealing with much more challenging, complex difficulties. But I think the principle is the same, and that is that God hasn't given me grace today for where I'll be walking 5 years from now, or 5 months from now, or 5 days from now, for that matter. And Holly, I love the illustration you give. You've shared it on Revive Our Hearts, but many have not heard it, about the miner's cap. And that's
right.
Just such a great word picture.
I actually
for me.
Shared that with a lady just in the last couple of days who was in a tough circumstance and saying, I just don't think I can keep doing this. I don't have energy. I don't have strength. And I shared with her this story about taking my kids into a mine a few years ago, an abandoned mine, and they gave us little helmets with little flashlight things. I'm using my hands in the studio. I know you can't see that, but a little flashlight on the top of the helmet that lit just the circle around our feet. As we took each step, we could see for the next one. And I love that and relate that to Romans 5, where Christ talks about the grace in which we stand, because especially as a wife and a mother, so much of what we do is maintenance. It is mundane. It is stuff we do over and over and over. And if I really started calculating how many loads of laundry I will do until I die, it would be so depressing to
Death
me.
Death by laundry.
Yes.
But, you really have to just pull those boundaries way back in and say, God, what have you called me to do this day, this moment, sometimes even this hour? And what the enemy loves to do, of course, is take us way beyond the realm of God's grace, so that in our imagination, in our thinking, we are trying to picture ourselves doing this 5 years from now without the grace of God, and it is overwhelming, and it is exhausting. And so we have to pull that way back in and say, God, in this little pool of grace right here, I will stand, and I can obey for this moment. I can rejoice even. I can trust you for this moment in my life.
And I think that's a huge key to endurance. Mm-hmm. You know, we think of endurance, we think of cross-country running or long mountain climbing or whatever, that it just seems the endurance by its nature is long. And focusing on the long part of it rather than the present moment often is what tempts me to throw in the towel and right. keeps me from finding endurance. I think of the title of one author had for his book, it's a long obedience in the same direction. And so for the single mom who's thinking, how in the world am I going to keep putting food on the table for my kids? Or how am I going to put up with this husband who's just continuing to be deceptive, and the implications of his deception are, you think about them long range and it's mind-boggling, and then you've got yourself into such a mental and emotional and spiritual tailspin, you can't take the next step. And really, endurance becomes the cumulative steps of faith and obedience and the little bit of light I have for the moment. And if I could see the whole road that lies ahead, I'd probably say I'm out of this race.
We went through kind of an interesting moment a couple of months ago with my oldest daughter, who has waited for years to be able to have a child. And they finally got pregnant after 4.5 years of no birth control, waiting on the Lord and desiring a child. And about a month into her pregnancy, she started hemorrhaging. It looked like she was losing the baby. And as Billy and I were sitting in the emergency room with them, waiting to hear if the baby was still alive or not, I looked at Billy and said, this is just our first pregnancy of our first child. And it just got exhausting to me thinking about all the potential emergencies that could happen with my 8 children and their future spouses and all the future grandchildren.
And your youngest is what, 10 or something?
My youngest is 9 currently.
And you're now living 50 years ahead.
And I just realized I'm doing exactly what I preach to women all the time. Don't do that. And I had to pull those boundaries way back in and say, God, I thank you that you have grace for this moment. And when I'm on grandchild number whatever, 32 or whatever it ends up being, you will have grace for that as well. Now, the baby was fine and Jennifer's doing great. And we were so grateful for that. But if we get ahead of God's grace, we will be exhausted.
Another tendency I think we often have is to try and escape from the process. And it's a temptation to manipulate, to connive, to scheme, to resent or resist or buck against or say, I'm getting myself out of this. And if we do, we really miss the value of why God put us in that space in the first place.
In James, in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, we read, count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect or mature, complete and lacking nothing. I am reminiscent of a story I heard, a true story, about a man who was a scientist and who found the cocoon of what is called the mammoth moth. And this is the moth with the greatest wingspread, and it's the one who is said to be able to fly closest to the sun. So he was fascinated that he had made this great find, and he brought the cocoon into his office, and he watched it struggle day after day after day. I mean, just a tiny little opening would come up in the cocoon, and he would watch this little creature writhe and struggle, and he began to feel sorry for it. He took a little blade and cut a slit into the cocoon, and the mammoth moth just literally fell out and died. And what he read afterwards was that the struggle is what produced the strength, the endurance. It took the moisture off its wings so it could fly. It literally is what would have made it fly closest to the sun. And we Christians stay very earthbound because we don't endure and we don't fly close to the sun because we're always looking for a way of escape. We don't want to hurt. We don't want to be uncomfortable. We don't want problems. And I always think of that passage in Hebrews where we read that for the joy set before our Lord, he endured the cross, thinking lightly of the shame. And I think that's our example. We understand that the cross is literally the gateway to joy. Everything I'm looking for in life, if I'll endure it, it's right on the other side of the cross. The strength to live, the power to live. And I believe, too, the power to be closer to the sun.
That scientist thought he was doing that moth a favor
yes.
by slitting its cocoon.
Yes.
And how often do we think we're doing a favor to someone we love
yes.
by slitting their cocoon and trying to make their struggle easier. How many moms are tempted to do that
yes.
for their children or wives for their husbands to say, I don't want to see them struggle.
Or suffer.
And the caution about not rescuing from the cross those that we love, but realizing they need those lessons of endurance in the same way that we do.
We're doing wholesale disservice to the people of God. The most scathing rebuke in the entire New Testament was when Peter said, Lord, forbid that you go to the cross. And
yeah.
he said, get behind me, Satan. It's literally Satan talking when we are bid, don't go to the cross, don't suffer, don't hurt, you go around it. You know, Christians today, we wear crosses, we put them on bumper stickers, we put them on refrigerator magnets, but we don't get on it. And God says, if you will die to yourself, and if you will take your self-sins to the cross, if you will endure through the hard times, right on the other side of that cross is everything that you're looking for.
And not only do we need to experience that, but those we love need to experience
yes.
that. I don't know, Holly and Kim, do you ever find yourself tempted to rescue your children from what it takes for them to learn endurance?
We don't want our children to go through pain. I guess I've learned so much that I need to walk through the consequences of my own wrongs, that I want my children to learn in consequences now that are small rather than when they're big. And I've counseled many women in our church that have had children with some very difficult situations, some with children in prison or with great addictions. Do not rescue your child. Let them go through that consequence, or you'll have to be rescuing them over and over again. A lot of times they've reached that point because they were rescued at a younger age with smaller consequences that they could have walked through that they didn't endure through.
I do think it's real important to teach our children to accept responsibility for their own actions and not to necessarily let them off the hook when they have made a wrong choice. Teaching them to realize that every time they make a choice, it will determine where they go next on the board game, to use that metaphor. But that it will have a consequence in their life. I have one child who was looking for a summer job but wanted to kind of take a vacation right when school was over, and as a result has had to look twice as hard for a summer job because of waiting and wanting to play. I think in our society there's a huge tendency to want to play as a means of escape, and I am all for fun. I love having fun. But there's a balance there between the disciplines of life that teach us how to walk and endure and enjoying the things that God has given us. I think as a society, if we're not careful, we run from the disciplines of life that help us to endure. And then when we get in a tough place, we don't know what to do.
So Holly and Kim, when you had little ones and it seemed that days were all very much the same, and endurance was required when you're not getting full nights of sleep and thinking, will you ever sleep again?
Yes.
What are the things, can you think back, because we have a lot of young moms listening, that helped you to endure through that season of life?
I can remember being at a point of such total exhaustion that I literally was falling asleep eating my supper after taking care of children all day, just so exhausted, and thinking, so this is what my life's going to be the rest of my life. And this past week, I was reminded of those days of young motherhood and struggling and feeling like, will this ever end, or will things ever get any better?
Or can I get through this?
Can I get through this? And I have a dear friend who is a new mother of twins. They're 9 months old this past week. Her husband was going to be out of town at a conference. On Tuesday morning, she called me and said, Claire's throwing up, and now I'm getting sick. Parker's throwing up. And I said, I'll be right over. And I vividly remember being so sick, and my two children being sick, my husband being out of town, and a dear friend came over to nurse me, to care for me, to be there for me.
And I knew I wouldn't have made it through that week without her. I think we as the body need to surround one another, encourage those young mothers, let them know. And now that I have the opportunity to be the one to go and help to care for that young mother, I can say, you know, they're going to be grown before you know it.
And you're just illustrating, too, what we've seen in 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul saying to Timothy, I need you. Come quickly. You know, you'd say somebody who's as spiritually mature as the Apostle Paul should be able to make it without somebody else helping him out. But he's saying, I need God's people. And
right.
We've talked in this series about how we need others
right.
in the body of Christ and how we can be a resource to help each other endure so that we're not having to endure alone. Now, God did take Paul through moments where he didn't have anyone else, where all deserted him. And then he says, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. But at the same time, in his humanness, he said, I need help. And then to be sensitive, as you were, to say, you know, I've been there. I can remember what that was like. And so now is my season of life to be the giver, as someone else gave to me in my time of great need.
I would say to those young moms, too, number one, take advantage of what God has given you in the body of Christ, as Kim just said. Number two, don't get so physically exhausted that you cannot function and take care of your family. Mm-hmm. And it is possible to get so tired. Motherhood is exhausting. Mm-hmm. And if God gives you several children, it is really exhausting. You can literally just get so physically tired that you cannot do what God has called you to do. So I think it's important to take care of yourself.
So how do you do that, oh, mother
of
many? And how many hours a night did you sleep when all your kids were little?
I still don't sleep much, but I do think you have to be creative. There were times when Billy and I would trade off. There were days when he would walk in the door and I would say, I'm headed to Walmart. And he'd say, why? And I'd say, it doesn't matter. And so I told a young mom today, you need to have some moments in your day when you just step outside your door and look up and remember that God is still there and that he is still big. Because sometimes you get so caught in the everydayness and the pressures on your life of someone always needing something from you that you need to be reminded that God is still sufficient. And I think the biggest danger is a mom getting so weary that she cannot find time for God.
Right.
And then all of a sudden she is so depleted. She has nothing to give her husband. She has nothing to give her children. It is critical to find time with the Lord, even if that means stepping out on your back porch with your Bible for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And maybe you read one or two verses and then ask God to apply those to your heart. But it means that at some moment in your day, you are stopping and redirecting your focus to the one that can help you endure, and just being wise enough to know, if I don't ever sleep and I don't ever eat, I cannot take care of my family.
And if I don't ever find 5 minutes with God.
Right.
And that is, I think, for young mothers, the biggest challenge is I've had young mothers tell me, I was faithful my quiet time until the baby came along
right.
or until, you know, the late night feedings. And what I try and encourage them in is don't try and do your quiet time like you used to. You may have had 30 minutes. You may have been able to write in a journal. But just take an allotted 5 minutes, 10 minutes to just focus on what you know about God, to worship him in that, to take one verse and carry it around with you all throughout the day in your heart, in your mind, and have that with you.
As we've been talking about endurance, I know there are women in a lot of different situations of life, and we have focused here some on young moms, but there's a passage that comes to mind from the end of Hebrews chapter 10. And the author says, but recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, after you came to faith, you endured a hard struggle. If it's not a hard struggle, it doesn't take endurance. But you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. Sometimes it affected you directly. Sometimes it affected the ones that you loved and were close to. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. Imagine doing that joyfully. Since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. And that goes back to the holy view of eternity that we talked about. Therefore, he says, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. If I could say that in the vernacular, it would be, don't throw in the towel.
Right.
Don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance. And in my Bible, I've got that like triple underlined. You have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, if he doesn't endure, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. He says, you have need of endurance, and that's why you go through these struggles and these trials and these sufferings. But the fact that you endure, he says, is an evidence that you are a child of God. He preserves his saints. He will preserve you in this trial. He will preserve me in this season of life. And what he's doing through that is something I have need of. So that's why he says, you can accept it joyfully. Because you know that it has an enduring reward.
We've been getting some wise counsel on enduring difficulty. Nancy Lee DeMoss has been talking with some pastors' wives, Holly Eliff and Kim Wagner, along with Margaret Ashmore, a breast cancer survivor. She's been an inspiration all this week for anyone suffering physical or emotional pain. If you've missed any of the programs this week, you can order them on CD. We had to trim the interview between Nancy, Holly, Kim, and Margaret in order to fit within our allotted time on the radio, but you can hear more when you order the series. Just visit reviveourhearts.com and order the CD series, Surviving and Thriving Through Suffering. I have no doubt that many women needed to hear today's message on Revive Our Hearts. You know, Nancy gets emails and letters that tell her how timely the message often is.
Well, God's called me to teach his word to women, and that's what we focus on here at Revive Our Hearts. But sometimes men write to tell us that they're listening in as well. One man emailed after hearing a message on brokenness. He said, I was deeply touched by your radio program this morning. I am a very, very proud man, and my marriage of almost 7 years is in trouble. He told us that God had used that particular program to motivate him to get help, and that very day he reached out to some men to get their counsel. I love the way that God uses specific programs to reach out to specific listeners just when they need to hear a particular message. Would you consider being a part of that process? When you support Revive Our Hearts financially, you're making moments like these possible. Would you ask the Lord how he might want you to be involved in the ministry of Revive Our Hearts? When you make a donation of any amount today, we'll send you the 2012 Revive Our Hearts Wall Calendar. This year's theme is Seeking Him Together. A lot of our listeners have told us that they really look forward to getting this calendar each year because of its beautiful design and, even more importantly, its rich content. And you'll find that this year's calendar is no exception. Each month we'll focus on a different theme related to seeking the Lord for personal revival. And this calendar is our way of saying thank you when you support the ministry of Revive Our Hearts. Just ask for the 2012 Wall Calendar when you donate any amount.
Donate by phone by calling 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or contribute online at reviveourhearts.com. Well, Nancy Lee DeMoss received an unexpected letter that threw her into a tailspin. She turned to a passage of Scripture that spoke to her heart. She'll walk you through that passage and show you how to stabilize your heart when you're in an emotional freefall. That's Monday on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.